And we've got pie coming. And so fear not. We're going to get to that quickly. But first, let's look at Galatians chapter 4. In the book of Galatians, we see that Paul is here concerned, maybe even a little bit surprised, possibly unsure of what to do with the Christians who lived in Galatia, because at one point they were overwhelmed, excited with the love of God that had been given to them, but they had drifted from grace, and now they're attempting to earn God's approval by their good works. And he calls them foolish Galatians because they're living these unnecessarily legalistic and exhausting lives. And so Paul asked them a question that I think would be applicable to us tonight. It's a very compelling question to ask at Thanksgiving time. Galatians chapter 4, verse 15. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Paul was becoming persona non grata. He was becoming an irritant, a burr under the saddle to the Galatians. And Paul said, where's the blessedness that you spake of? I thought I was the best thing that ever happened to you. I thought I was your favorite preacher. Now, he didn't say that, but in a sense, that's what they had seemed to say about the Apostle Paul. What a blessing you have been to us. If it weren't for you, we'd still be in bondage to the law, trying to work our way into the favor of God. But because of the gospel that you told us, now we realize that we have the ability, not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ, to please God. And he begins to state here that the root of the problem, after 3.5 chapters, he says the root of the problem seems to be they lost their sense of having been blessed. They were trying to achieve God's love rather than receive God's love. It's exhausting to try to keep up with other people's expectations. The Judaizers made it their role in life to come along and add something to the gospel. They were very concerned that anyone had any joy. Someone said it was like the Puritans. What's a Puritan? Someone who is deathly afraid that somewhere, someone is enjoying themselves. And it seems that the Judaizers were along those lines. They were very, very concerned that there was a Christian out there who was feeling blessed. Because when you're feeling blessed, you're not working. You ought to be up working. You ought to be doing something with your time and your effort. You ought to be working for the Lord. You ought to be faithful. You ought to, and all those things are true, but they come out of the love of God. You don't earn God's love by doing those things. He wanted to see their gratitude for Jesus revived and renewed. Because whenever we lose a sense of how much we are blessed of God, and specifically blessed of Jesus Christ, we always fight more and we enjoy our lives less. If you belong to the Lord, if you are in Christ tonight, I want to point our hearts back to Jesus himself. Because I thank God for my family, I thank God for you, I thank God for the food that I've had today and that I'm going to have tomorrow and then really going to have on Thursday. I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of things I could thank God for, but the greatest gift, the unspeakable gift, is Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1, we're going to stay in Galatians, look at several verses. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Let me give you several reasons to be thankful this Thanksgiving. Number one, Jesus gave his life to deliver you. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He gave himself to deliver us. Look at chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Here's something else to be thankful for. Jesus Christ has justified you. Number 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians! Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? You know something you can be thankful for this year? Jesus Christ was crucified for you, and you found out about it. He was evidently set forth before you. That's something that goes beyond any of the struggles and problems that we have. Jesus Christ died for me, and somebody told me about it. What a blessing. Number 4, verse number 2 of chapter 3. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What's the answer, church? By the hearing of faith. And what did you get by the hearing of faith? What does he say? The Spirit. Here's number 4. You have the Holy Spirit of God. That's something that Jesus Christ gives to everyone that puts their faith in him. What a blessing. You have the Spirit of God. That Spirit does not get old. It does not get tired. It can be grieved, but it can also be reconciled back to us. And that Spirit in you is with you forever. Forever. It doesn't matter who's running the world. It doesn't matter what money I have or don't have, how much weight I've lost or how much weight I've gained. Those things are all temporal and they go up and down, don't they? You know, one thing that stays constant, it's what's inside of you that will never change, the Spirit of God. And we can be thankful for that. Look at verse number 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Number 5, he has worked miracles among you. He's worked miracles among you. Thinking about Brother Shane 33 years ago being saved. We could stand next to Brother Shane and look backward on our lives. Maybe it would go further than 33 years, maybe shorter. But we would look back and we see who we were at the moment of salvation. Can you imagine where you would be standing right now looking back 33 years if you had not been saved? Can you imagine? Can I imagine? I was 12 years of age when I got saved. That was hard to believe. 32 years ago. Looking back, I can't imagine where I would be if I had not met Jesus Christ. He has worked miracles in my life. And he's continued to work with me even when I rejected him or pushed him away or was hard-hearted. He kept working miracles in my life. He's worked miracles in my children's lives and in the lives of people around that I've fumblingly tried to help and in a very rude way or a coarse way. I've tried to do something for the Lord, and the Lord says, just stop. I'll take it from here. And he does miracles. That's my God. That's your God. Number 6, look at chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Jesus Christ was cursed for you. Cursed by whom? By God. God's the one that wrote the law. Jesus Christ was found guilty of sinning sins that he never committed for you and I. He was cursed. You might think, my life is cursed. Everything I touch breaks. I can't get that job. I can't keep my health. I can't keep relationships. No, no, no. You're not cursed. Jesus was cursed. He was cursed. That's something you can be thankful for. Why? The worst thing that has ever happened to any human, the worst thing that has ever happened or could ever happen to you, is nothing in compared to the worst thing that happened to Jesus Christ. And since you are in Him, there is nothing that you will ever have to worry about that has already happened. Listen, Jesus was cursed. He's not cursed any longer, but He bore that curse for you. You say, well, I'm cursed with my heritage. I'm cursed with my height. I'm cursed with these, you know, biological genes that I can't get rid of. I'm cursed with my family. I'm cursed with my situation. Oh, no, no. Because of Jesus Christ, you are no longer cursed. He was cursed for you. He bore your curse. It says He was made a curse for us. Look at verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Put on. You know what that is? That's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have been placed into Christ, and now because we are inside Christ, no one sees, God does not see us as we used to be. He sees us as Jesus Christ. We have the righteousness of Christ. That's something to be thankful for. Because you think, well, I wish I were a better person. I've failed so many times this year. I wish I had never said that in that conversation. I wish I'd never done that. If I could go back and be better in that case, I would have. Well, it's true for every person in this room. But may I remind you that as far as God the Father is concerned, if you are in Christ, you have His righteousness. And He loves you. You are justified as if you had never sinned. He sees you with the spotless record of Jesus Christ. And that's a gift that you received when you became one of His children. That's something to be thankful for. Chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He says, God sent His Son to redeem them. You are redeemed. Bought back. You're not going to go to hell. You're not going to be judged for who you know that you are in your flesh. The further I go, the more I realize how much it cost Jesus to save me. But you're redeemed. Bought back. You're not going to get sold on the slave market of sin to the devil and end up in hell. You've been bought back by Jesus Christ. And it says in verse number 5, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He's adopted you. He said, it's not just that I want you in my kingdom. I want you in my house. I want you at my table every meal. I want to talk with you after you get home from school. And I want to say, how's it going? I want you there for every holiday. I want you there for every vacation. You're my son. Where I go, you go. I want you with me all the time. That's the kind of God that we have. He's not holding us at arm's length saying, okay, just stay in the mudroom. You're filthy. But you're in the house, but just, you know, you can sleep in the garage. No, He wants us right up there on the at the dinner table, fellowshipping with Him. He's adopted us. And He goes even further, verse number 7. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. What does a son get? And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How in the world did you weasel your way into the will? Oh, you didn't weasel your way in. There's nothing you and I could do to ever force ourselves into the will. But He put us there on purpose. He said, I want you in my will. I have an inheritance for you. I have special gifts that I want to give you. You think it's good now, and it is. You wait till you see your new body. You wait till you see the place that I live in. You wait till you see what I do with the earth in the millennium. You're going to love it. And He's given all of that to us. We're guaranteed that because we're in His family. I don't know what kind of situation you're going to be in over Thanksgiving. But I know this, if you have Jesus, you have a lot to be thankful for. He's made you an heir. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He has set you free from the bondage of earning his love, of earning his favor. You never again have to worry about whether you can please God. You already did please God when you got saved. You're in Jesus Christ. And Jesus, it was said of Jesus by the Father, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Yes, we fall short. Yes, we don't do what we ought. We know there's things we should do. But may I remind you that if God was waiting on you to live a perfect life before he gave you salvation, you don't have it right now. And you never will have it. But because of Jesus Christ, he has made you free from the yoke that the Judaizers, the folks from Jerusalem coming down to Galatia, they were trying to say, "Guys, listen, it's great that you're saved and all, but there's a bunch of stuff that you've got to do if you're really going to be pleasing God." Well, it's true that there's things we ought to do because we love God and we want to please him, but we're not doing it in order to earn our salvation, our place in heaven. Because of Jesus Christ, we are free from that bondage of earning his love. Look at verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Can I remind you again that he gave us a spirit, Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. Received it by the hearing of faith. That spirit is in you. And that spirit desires to produce fruit. It desires to produce fruit. What fruit? It wants to bring love and joy and peace and long-suffering, etc. in your heart. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to bring. He has given you the ability to have these things in the Spirit of God. You know what we do? We try to figure out how to get love and joy and peace in any other way beside yielding to the Spirit of God who is in you. And he's promised not only that he would give it to you, the fruit of the Spirit. He said, "I'll produce it. You don't have to bring forth love and peace and joy. I'll produce it in you. And I put the Holy Spirit in you. You don't have to pray that the Holy Spirit comes in you. He's already in you. You don't have to try to imitate or counterfeit what he does. He will do it. You know, if you ask me to cook for Thanksgiving, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Now, I'll give it my best shot. Hey, YouTube is my friend when it comes to getting in the kitchen. I'll figure it out, something. But it's not going to be very good. Why? I don't have that capability because I haven't worked at it. I haven't tried. I haven't perfected. I haven't made enough mistakes. But if I had spent 30 years in the kitchen working, maybe you'd have a better shot at it. Christian, I'm thinking about this. Sometimes we get this idea that, man, I just got to get in the kitchen, and I got to make mistakes, and I got to try, and I got to work at this thing, and I'm going to get better at it, and I'm going to find a better recipe. I'm going to read somebody else's book. I'm going to listen to this guy, and I'm going to really figure out how to have serenity now. I'm going to have peace, and I'm going to have love, and I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get an app. I'm going to get a candle. I'm going to get a bath bomb, something, and I'm going to have peace. You sound like me going in the kitchen to fix Thanksgiving dinner. It's not going to be so good. You know what? The Holy Spirit can produce these things in you. And to the degree that you don't believe it, you're going to keep trying to produce it yourself. He can produce love and joy and peace and long-suffering. He's going to teach you. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you in the Word of God. But he can produce that. He could make Thanksgiving, this Thanksgiving 2022, the most peaceful, joyful, loving Thanksgiving you've ever experienced. Now, I didn't say that other people would be the most peaceful, joyful, loving people. I said he could produce that in you. Even in the midst of trying circumstances. Even in difficulty. The story is told of, I didn't want to tell the story, but I can't get it off my head. I've said it before, you've read it, of Corrie ten Boom, who helped to hide Jews with her family in Amsterdam back in the occupation of their country by the Nazis. And because of her involvement and her sister's involvement, they ended up going to a concentration camp. And in the midst of all this, they talked about the beatings that they could hear constantly, the rhythm of blows striking humans. It was the regular drum beat of their day. It was dark, it was cold, people were vicious, but Betsy, her older sister, maintained her close walk with the Lord even in the concentration camp. On top of all of their struggles and afflictions, one day they realized that their bedding was completely infested with fleas. So now they're sleeping on hard cots with thin, flimsy blankets in the cold winter air, and now they have fleas. But Betsy said, "Corey, in everything, give thanks." And I resonate a little bit more with Corey, because Corey was a no-nonsense, "Betsy, get off your high horse and stop being so heavenly-minded, you're no earthly good." That was her approach. And she said, "What are you talking about?" I'm paraphrasing. And Betsy said, "We have to trust the Lord. In everything, give thanks." As it turned out, when the prison guards found out that they were infested with fleas, they refused to come into their barracks. And they could gather together every night, and they could read their Bible, and they could sing, and they could pray together, and they could fellowship with no concern about the guards coming in. Because as Betsy said, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God." See, the Holy Spirit is in us, and He can produce, even in the most trying circumstances, He can produce that. But you got to stop trying to produce it yourself. You'll go crazy. You can't. All you need to do, I say all, it's a daily struggle, an hourly struggle, is yield to the Spirit of God who is in you and let Him produce those characteristics that you so desire. One more tonight. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." I don't have to worry about fighting the world. The world is dead to me. I don't have to worry about striving to be more or avoiding super over-the-top religious people. No, in Jesus Christ is all I need. He has scratched out my existence before, my old nature, and He has made me a new creature. New. Not old and dying. A new creature. "Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You are the age that God wants you to be when He saved you. I don't know what that would be, but I would imagine somewhere around the age of Jesus Christ. And you are that age for eternity. You're a new creature. You're not shriveling up. You're not shrinking down. Yes, physically, you may stoop over. You may have more aches and pains than you can count. You may be taking horse pills every day to try to somehow keep yourself alive. And thank God for all the medicines that we have. But the inward man is just as fresh and new as the day you got saved. And it will always be so. That should be cause for rejoicing. He ends there in Galatians chapter 6, verse 18. "Behold, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. May all that Christ is and has done for us cause us to be filled with the spirit of gratitude, because it is His grace that has given us all of these things. We are recipients of the grace of God, and let that fill your spirit." And I can't say, I have to say this, it's going to make you a person of gratitude. You're not going to have to stop and think about it. All you're going to have to do is remember that you're in Christ, and Christ is in you, and all these things that He has done for you because He loves you. What a great God we serve. Let's take some time tonight. Praise. We've done some of that. We're going to have pie. But let's take some time and let's pray. I want to invite you to come to the altar.